Good morning. Today I want to talk about one of my favorite disciples. And yes, Mary of Bethany was a disciple. But I can't talk about Mary without also talking about her older sister, Martha. But first, I have a question I'd like to ask you. Did you or do you have a younger or an older sister or brother? Or were you the older sister or brother? Well, I was the older sister in my family. And I can remember my younger sister, and we had 8 years difference. I can remember her trying to emulate me. I can remember her putting on my high heels and tripping all over the house. The younger sibling typically wants to be just like their big brother or their big sister. So hold that thought while I introduce you to the Mary and the Martha that I know. It may just surprise you. So let's start with Martha, since she is the older sister. Martha, often seen as the good little cook and housekeeper. Martha, often imagined as kind of frumpy, befuddled, a little grumpy. Martha, thought to be lacking in spirituality and only concerned with things domestic. But that's not the Martha that I know. The Martha that I know struggles with God and even charges Jesus with failure, but she doesn't give up. She is the Martha whose confession of faith was every bit as strong as Peter's, a deeply spiritual, contemplative, and faith-filled woman with an unseen inner strength. And I believe that Mary wanted to be just like her older sister, Martha. If you've heard me preach before, you'll know that I often call on the Midrashic way of interpretation and storytelling. I would like to tell you Mary's story in a way and in her words, drawing on what we know and what we can imagine, based on the readings and what we know of life, of history at that time. But first, let's set the scene. Lazarus was dead, and Jesus was on his way to Bethany. And Martha had gone to meet him when Martha challenged Jesus about her brother's death. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha replied, "I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now, this is the good part. This is Mary's or Martha's profession of faith. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was to come into this world." Strong words. Strong faith. So now let's listen to Mary's story in her words. "Martha, I was so in awe of you because you seemed to have it all together. You seemed so sure of who he was, and I was so filled with doubt. I sat at his feet and I listened to him speak so that I could find in his words what you already knew. I envied your faith. I was so filled with doubt, and I wanted to know the truth, as you did. I listened to his words, and I prayed for guidance. You would get so angry with me because you thought I was avoiding the housework. Well, maybe I was, but not intentionally. I'm not sure how it happened, but one day, while listening at his feet, I looked up at him and I knew, I just knew, without a doubt. And it wasn't a knowing in my head, it was a knowing in my heart, an unshakable knowing in my heart. Do you remember how angry I was with Jesus after our brother died? What hurt worse for me was that I didn't doubt. I knew he was who he said he was, and I knew he could have prevented Lazarus's death. And I wanted to scream at him. I was too angry to go out and meet him, Let him come to me, the traitor, and let him feel my anger and my pain. Oh, how I wish I could have taken back the accusing words I cried out. Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. I did what I set out to do. I hurt him deeply. I saw the pain in his eyes, and I wanted to take back those words. I wanted to undo what I had done, but it was too late. As we walked to the tomb where our brother lay, I knew that Jesus had taken a big risk in coming to Bethany. He was now only 2 short miles from Jerusalem and from those who wanted him dead. Why had we sent for him? Why did I feel like the tomb we were approaching was not the tomb of our brother, but rather a symbol of what was yet to come? My heart ached. All through the celebration, after Lazarus came back to us from the dead, I couldn't shake that premonition. I knew, as sure as I knew the sun would rise, I knew that what little time we had left was to be cherished. What could I do to show my love? You were preparing the dinner, as usual, and you asked me to go to town to get some fresh fish. Yes, I thought, and I'll buy some ointment to anoint his head and his feet. I went to my room and I got out my money box and I took everything I had, and for once in my life, I had a purpose. I ran to town, I bought the fish, and then I went to buy the ointment. The merchant thought I was crazy. Why, he said, are you buying an ointment for a burial? I thought your brother was still alive, isn't he? I assured him that Lazarus was fine and that this was for another purpose. I selected the ointment, which the merchant poured in the most beautiful alabaster jar I could find, and I purchased my treasures and I went home. That evening, I was terrified at what I was about to do, at what I had to do. My hands were shaking so badly, I thought I'd drop that beautiful alabaster jar. The room became as quiet as a tomb. Jesus' eyes met mine, and we both knew what I was about to do and why. I felt he was telling me it was all right. No, it was more than all right. It was necessary. I broke the neck of the jar, and I poured the ointment onto his head. I remember the fragrance. It was clean and pure and somehow holy. I then knelt at his feet and I anointed his feet with the ointment, and then I anointed his feet with my tears. Then I reached up and pulled the pins from my hair and I let it fall so that I might wipe his feet with my hair. There was so much love in my heart at that moment that I didn't really care what those around us thought. Didn't matter. I was saying goodbye to my Lord in the only way I knew how. And it was right. Interesting that both Judas and Mary, in 2 different ways, are motivated by money. Judas, of course, wanted all of the money to allegedly feed the poor, which meant it would go into the common fund, where he could then help himself to it. Mary, on the other hand, wanted the money to be spent on the pure nard that she would use to anoint Jesus. Perhaps knowing in her heart that she was anointing him for his impending death. Judas had a closed heart. Mary's heart was open. This Easter season, let us all be open, as Mary was open, to Christ's love. Help us to remember that it is through love, love for our Lord, love for one another, and love for ourselves that we find faith, or more often than not, that faith finds us. Amen.